Good morning. This is M from the Unqualified News Podcast. I had a question that is probably really easy to answer. How long are the episodes kept on the Anchor platform? Better explained, how long will they stay published on all podcast platforms? And also, up to how many episodes can I have published on the Anchor platform? I am putting in a lot of work on the podcast and soon my sound will be much better. I want to make sure that all this work will be up forever for my son's sons to listen to it. Thanks, Anchor team. Have a great week. Love you so much and peace. And that's an email I thought I was sending out to Anchor, but it ended up actually being a chat to the support, to the customer support team. Tony answered, and he's like, "Hey, Mauricio, allow me to answer your questions. Episodes don't really disappear on your account, so it'll stay as long as your podcast is active. And you can upload as many episodes as you like." And then he's like, "Do you have any further questions?" And man, he shouldn't have asked me that. I'm like, "Hey, does Spotify own Anchor? Because that's something I've been saying in my commercials and I just want to make sure I'm 100% on that." And he's like, "To answer that question, yes, Spotify acquired Anchor as of now." And I said, "Awesome, I love that." And he's like, "It's been a pleasure talking to you. Have a wonderful day." Hey, what's going on, my qualifiers? Welcome to episode number 44 of the Unqualified News Podcast, and I am your host, M. Mauricio. As you can tell, got a little better sound. You might be able to hear, pick up some of the background noise now. We got a better mic situation, and now I have to record out of my apartment out here in downtown LA, so you guys are just going to be a part of a downtown every time you listen to this podcast from now on, because there's no way that I can stop the helicopters, the ambulances, and the police cars, and the crazy fucking neighbors upstairs, and just damn kids going up and down this damn hallway. There's just no way I can stop that. So we're just going to have to work with what we got. I mean, prior to this, I was recording in my car. I don't know if you guys knew that, but all these episodes prior to this, I was recording in my car. So I was recording a little bit on my breaks, a little bit on my lunch, a little bit on my other break. And sometimes I would just stay a little bit after, after work, I would just stay in the parking lot and record maybe, 30 minutes or so, then hit the gym. But now I'll be able to record them all from my apartment out here in downtown LA, and I'm really straight in downtown LA. Like, from my window I can really see the tallest building in the downtown LA skyline. I forgot what it's called, but it has that big giant antenna. So basically it's the antenna that makes it tallest. I should know the name of that damn building. There you go. I can hear some police sirens. I don't know if I'm gonna take them out in post, but I can hear them. And as you can tell now, the sound is a lot crispier, a lot richer, right? I guess it's something I've just been not really wanting to invest in. With the UN Talk episodes, I feel like I had to step it up because I wanted to be able to capture those conversations a lot better. You know, they're pretty good already. You can hear, you can hear the conversations fairly well, but this is just going to set it to... I feel like this is just going to take it to that level, take it to another level where it's just going to be a lot better to listen to and probably a lot better to record, But now that I'm doing the podcast in this format, it's going to change the format somewhat, a little bit, because before I would do segments, right? So I would go in and I would record a segment and then another and another, and then I'll splice them up and then boom, boom, boom. So now it's going to kind of be like a run on, like kind of like the news, really, no stop, just go on what's going on, I'll let you know all the articles. We'll patch in with OJ Simpson on sports, see what his crazy ass is up to. And, we'll go from there. I don't know if you, for those of you that have been following Unqualified News from the beginning, the first couple episodes, it's break time ramble, right? It's break time ramble with Mauricio. I was just rambling about the news on my break for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it may be. And then, little by little, we kind of evolved into Unqualified News. And I feel like this is going to take it to that other level, so I feel like it's going to take me a couple episodes to kind of just get you know, get used to recording here in my house. You know, I mean, I'm recording here in my house, trying to, you know, close all the windows, close all the doors, you know, close all the blinds, just try to minimize all the noise. And it's not that easy. It's not that easy. And then having to record after a long day, you know, my days, I mean, I'm up at 3 a.m. I gotta wake up 3 a.m, go to work, be at work in 5 to 2:30, get off at 2:30, hit the gym, right? I hit the gym from what, like 3 o'clock to 5, you know, from 5, I get home at 7. No, I'm sorry. I get home at 6, takes about an hour or so to get home. And then what, you know what I mean? I have to wash my dishes. I have to get my lunch ready for tomorrow. I have to get my dinner ready, right? And then what time do I have left? You feel me? But I'm not trying to make excuses. That's not what I'm trying to do. And don't feel bad. I love doing this. I love doing this. When I'm doing it, you know, it's just like when you go to the gym. When you're there and you're loving it. It's just the drag to get there, you know. Trust me, man. Like, I was sitting right here saying, I shouldn't record today. And but once you sit, I mean, once I sit here and I start talking to you guys, I feel like time does slow down. And it feels genuine, I guess. I don't know, best way to explain it. And before anything, I wanted to give a quick shout out to a coworker that actually listened to the podcast, a qualifier, Corey. Man, he got in my ear about this sound, right? He's like, hey man, I really like the podcast, but just the sound, man, it's just, you know, it's not there. And I was just like, all right, okay, you know. And I mean, I didn't take offense to it, but you know what I mean? I mean, I know the sound isn't the best. You know what I mean? I know the sound isn't the best, and I know my reading isn't the best, right? But we're getting there. We're getting better. But he got in my ear about the sound. He's like, hey, man, you're always telling me about Robinhood. You're always telling me about investing. But how about you invest in your podcast? How about you invest in yourself? And I was like, you little motherfucker, you. Just kidding, Corey. But yeah, he got in my ear. And, you know, he told me this about, he told me this about a month ago now. And it just still been going on and on and on. And then, you know, after I had the talk, UN talk with Jenny, mail carrier, and the sound sounded really great because we were recording in a pretty, you know, not so loud location. And but some of the other UN talks, like with the police officer, I wish my sound would have been up to par. I'm gonna ask him if he's able to come on UN talk one more time for us with the better audio, you know. That's the main reason why I really wanted to get better audio. I want to really capture those voices a lot better. I mean, it sounds so corny, but I had some of the best time sitting down talking to Charlie, to Alex, to Jenny, Jennifer, for the 2+ hours. You know what I mean? Like, when do you really sit down and talk to somebody for 2+ hours? No interruptions, you know what I'm saying? Like, you really don't do that. Not even to your best of friends that you have. You can't say that you sit there and you talk to them for 2 hours. Or maybe you can, I don't know, some people can, right? Alrighty, and with going with the new format, remember, before I would record all the segments, so I would kind of know already a little bit about the segments, but right now, I don't know about the segments. I chose the stories and I kind of skimmed through them, but I really didn't really dissect them. I'm going to dissect them as we go along. So, you know what I'm saying? Welcome to Unqualified News, I guess. First article, I have CNN Politics, and it's Joe Biden meeting Pope Francis, leaving a strong impression on him. Then I found another story here from DW.com, and I'm just going to read you the title, Germany to Return Mayan Ancient Artifacts to Guatemala and Mexico. So I went and I seeked out this Mayan story because I wanted to talk about the Mayans. That's it. All right. And I have Insider.com, BusinessInsider.com, and this one's talking about Trump's Truth. Have you guys heard of that? Donald Trump's going to come out with a new social media app, and it's going to be called Truth. I already pre-ordered it. No lie. Go to the Apple Store, look up Truth, and you can pre-order it. I mean, come on, man. You guys don't be haters. I'm just going to pre-order it. I'm in the news. I go to CNN, Fox, and everything, okay? I'm going to do this for you guys, so stop making that face. But all right, let's just get right in it. Let's get right into this first article. And this is CNN.com. Meeting with Pope Francis leaves a strong impression on Biden. He is everything I learned about Catholicism. By Donald Judd. And this one, like I said, is from CNNpolitics.com. A visibly moved President Joe Biden on Sunday took the opportunity to reflect on his close relationship with Pope Francis, praising the Catholic leader as someone who's provided a great solace for my family when my son died. He is a man who understands that part of his Christianity is to reach out and to forgive, Biden told reporters. And so, I just find my relationship with him one that I personally take great solace in. He is a really, truly, genuine, decent man. The president and Pope held 90 minutes of talks Friday in a session that blended the official and personal sides of the most devout U.S. leader in decades. Afterward, Biden said Francis had told him he was pleased he was a good Catholic and that he should continue receiving communion, despite opposition from some conservative American bishops over his support for abortion. The meeting stretched twice as long as the one Biden held with Pope John Paul II as a young senator. While the White House said afterwards that topics like climate change and COVID-19 arose, Biden told reporters he discussed a lot of personal things with the pontiff. Biden did not directly respond to the question from a reporter that sparked his reflection on the pontiff, which was centered on the move by conservative bishops this summer to form a plan that would deny the president communion over his support for abortion. The president brushed off that topic, instead recounting a visit the Pope made in the U.S. in 2015, shortly after the death of Beau Biden, the then vice president's son. And he came in and he talked to my family for a considerable amount of time, 10, 15 minutes about my son, Beau, Biden recalled. And he didn't just generically talk about him. He knew about him. He knew what he did. He knew who he was. He knew where he went to school. He knew what a man he was. And it was such a cathartic impact on his children and my wife in our family. The two men displayed an easy familiarity on Friday during their meeting. In extraordinary footage from inside, a talkative Biden engaged in a warm chat with Francis as they exchanged gifts and introduced each other's delegations. At one point, Biden presented Francis a special coin with a deep personal significance. It bore the insignia of the 261st Signal Brigade, the Delaware National Guard unit in which his late son served as captain. "I know my son would want me to give it to you," Biden said. He explained, "The coins are given to the warriors and leaders," and called Francis the most significant warrior for peace I've ever met. "When Biden was elected," he said, "the Pope called him to tell me how much he appreciated the fact that I would focus on the poor and focus on the needs of people are in trouble." Adding, "the Jesuit is everything I learned about Catholicism from the time I was a kid going from grade school through high school." The president also acknowledged he was reluctant to divulge too much about his relationship with the Pope, telling reporters, "I'm not gonna lie, this is just personal. I don't want to talk more about it because so much of it is personal," he later added. And there you have it, my qualifiers. That's from CNNpolitics.com. CNN, the best news around. And look, they actually have a video here that now with this new technology we got going on here in the Unqualified News Podcast, studio? I don't know. I mean, whatever. Here it goes. Let's try to patch in to this video real quick. Let's try to make it work. Listen to the first beginning, then I'll skip. You know, that's how I watch videos. Let's go.
There are an awful lot of people, and many of you, I'm not putting you in this position, I apologize, but many of you who are even in the press who went out of your way to express your empathy and sympathy when I lost the real part of my soul, when I lost my beau, my son. And
all right, that's pretty tough. I mean, I can't talk shit about that.
My
of course.
Family will never forget.
Let's skip a little bit.
Family, because my children, my wife, my daughters-in-law, and before he left and got on the plane, the Pope asked whether or not he could meet with my family. And we met in a hangar at the Philadelphia airport. And as I meant what I said, everybody was laughing. I didn't realize you all were able to film what I was doing with the Pope when I gave him a command coin.
He didn't notice.
And I meant what I said.
I'm pretty sure he didn't notice. I mean, come on.
A man who is...
All right. That's it. So there you have it. That's CNN Politics, Unqualified News. Listeners, there you have it. My qualifiers, I mean, geez. There you have it. That's CNN. That's CNN Politics right there, baby. Those are news right there. He met the Pope. He loves the Pope. He's known the Pope. Let's go on to the next story. Alrighty, this one is DW.com. And this is actually a German news organization. They do a lot of awesome documentaries. I have no idea what DW stands for, so don't ask me. So here we go. Germany to return Mayan ancient artifacts to Guatemala and Mexico. Reiner Hasselhoff, premier of the Eastern German state of Saxony-Anhalt, will hand over a number of important cultural artifacts to Guatemalan ambassador Jorge Lemenque and Mexican ambassador Francisco Quiroga at the state offices in the capital, Berlin, on Friday. Officials say the Mayan objects include figures, plates, and cups dating back to between 250 and 850 AD. Police discovered the objects in autumn 2020 while at the residence of a man in the city of Klotzke. He had contacted them to arrange the handover of Second World War weapons that had belonged to his father. During the visit, the owner notified authorities about the pieces, which he said had been purchased for less than 100 euros, about $116. He claimed he had no idea where they had originally came from. Police suspect these items were stolen by tomb raiders. State prosecutors from Saxony-Anhalt say the authenticity of the objects was confirmed by an expert who concluded that 11 of the pieces were produced in what is today Guatemala, and the two others were from Teotihuacan, located roughly 40 kilometers, about 25 miles, northeast of modern-day Mexico City. The ancient Mesoamerican city of Teotihuacan was the largest city in the pre-Columbian Americas. The artifacts were originally scheduled to be handed over in May, but the exchange had to be postponed for diplomatic reasons. And there you have it, my qualifiers. That's from DW.com. I don't know what DW stands for, but I know they make awesome documentaries out of Germany, baby. And I wanted to bring you guys this because anything Mayan, I'm all over it. This is a brand new story that just popped out about Mayan. And there you go. Mayans basically took over most of the southern Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Belize. I know that. So, you know, the Mayans were fucking badass. And there was a Mayan king that ruled for 68 plus years, the longest ruling king and anywhere in the world. So and there's a picture of a German guy holding this like little Mesoamerican Mayan like little statue. He's kind of like, it's a statue, has a his right hand held up, his left hand is kind of to his stomach, and he has his feet in like the Indian position, you know. And just chilling. You know, he's kind of holding that little figurine up, and I love this type of stuff. I love history, especially ancient history, man. Like, that's one thing that I love asking people. I love asking people, hey, where are your ancestors from? They look at me weird, and then they're like, well, I haven't gotten the 23andMe or blah, blah. I'm like, well, where are your parents from? And then we'll figure it out. You know, I just, man, that's something that I love asking people. I feel like that brings everybody a lot closer when you ask them that question, you know? Alrighty, we're getting to Trump's truth, Papa. Here we go. This is businessinsider.com. Donald Trump's Truth Social is headed for embarrassing failures, Daily Beast report says. This one is by Joshua Sitzer. Just by the title, I mean, I ain't nobody, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just think like you guys, right? Just by the title, I'm pretty sure Business Insider leans a little to the left, huh? Maybe? The title is very, you know, like, all right, let's see what's going to happen. All right. Former President Donald Trump's upcoming social media network has already had its fair share of problems, including hackers breaking into the site to post a photo of a defecating pig. And several social media experts told the Daily Beast that things might only get worse. Described by reporters Adam Ronsley and Shannon Vara as a hacker's wet dream, experts say the Truth Social, set to launch in 2022, is showing early warning signs of failure. These new platforms have to try and learn all of the lessons of running a social network in a compressed timescale, so they tend to miss a lot of stuff, said David Thiel, the chief technical officer at Stanford Internet Observatory, during an interview with the Daily Beast. And a lot of times, the people that are implementing this haven't been at a company that has had a significant trust and safety operation. So they just don't know the things they are going to be facing, Thiel continued. The chief technical officer noted that Parler, a comparable social media network popular with Trump supporters, which relied on users' reports and volunteer moderators instead of paid ones to remove rule-breaking content, could not keep up with the backlog of content violations. Adam Hadley, the director of Tech Against Terrorism, a company that works with smaller social media platforms to police terrorism content, warned that Truth Social could struggle to find the resources to remove extremist content. You can be swarmed very easily by terrorist use, Hadley told the Daily Beast. There's no easy solution. You need people to be making difficult decisions about content, and before you even do that, you need to know what your policy is, and you need a press and PR capability to deal with media responses. Eva Galperin, the director of cybersecurity at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, told the Daily Beast that Truth Social not only risks falling behind on moderation, but that it might struggle to comply with external regulations. Insider previously reported that the Software Freedom Conservancy had accused Truth Social of ripping off code and violating a software licensing agreement, potentially opening it up to litigation or the need to rebuild the platform. It does not sound like a compliance team. It does not sound like there's lawyers on staff or anybody even doing the basic due diligence. In the same way, it doesn't sound like they have anybody doing the most basic security engineering, Galperin said. Galperin's assessment of Truth Social's future did not paint a rosy picture for the social media network. I imagine a series of embarrassing security and policy failures, followed by a very boring fizzle, she told the Daily Beast. I don't imagine any of these sites are going to replace any of the tech giants anytime soon. And there you have it. That's businessinsider.com. And that's on Donald Trump's Truth Social Media app coming up. And as you can see, they've already hacked it. I guess they put some picture of some pig, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh man, it's just a bunch of trolls out there, of course. And I mean, you know, everything gets hacked, right? I mean, but I wonder what this is going to be all about. I, I've always said I disagree with them kicking him out of Facebook and kicking him out of Twitter, okay? Because, you know, just because you don't agree with somebody doesn't mean you gotta kick them out of the conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay not to agree with people. That's what, you know what I'm saying? That's what America's all about, I guess, right? That's what we're all about here. We learn from each other. Sometimes I don't agree with you, but maybe, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks from now, I'll come around and maybe sometimes my mind might change. Just totally silencing somebody is not the way to go. And I know what you guys are thinking, but he was, you know, he was trying to get, start a coup. He was trying to start a coup. He was inciting violence. Some people can say that. Yeah, some people can say he was inciting violence. I mean, there's two camps right there. You know what I'm saying? There's two camps. And okay, now it sounds like I'm over here defending Donald Trump too much. So let's go to OJ and see what's going on with sports, okay?
I traveled through the night to get back from Buffalo. What an experience that was. Seeing old friends and old teammates and experiencing that Buffalo talking proud spirit that they have there. And watching the Bills win a game when they didn't play well. And that's the mark of a great team. When you can win, when you don't bring your best game. Felt bad this morning hearing about Derrick Henry. He was on his way to another 2,000-yard season, especially with that extra 17 game. I predicted that he'd get it. You know, after my 2,000-yard season, we opened the season against the Raiders, who had never lost on Monday night. We were leading right before the half. I twisted my right ankle. Didn't play any more that game. It was what you would call a high ankle sprain. Back then, unless it was torn or broken, didn't matter. You were going to play. So I didn't practice that week, but the next week against the Dolphins, I played. Trying to protect that ankle, I twisted my left knee. And the rest of the season, I couldn't practice much, but I never missed a game. I went over 1,000 yards, but I didn't have the effect on the games that I normally would have had. I see some people were abandoning ship on Tennessee about their playoff chances because Henry may be gone. Hey, look, with that offensive line and the attitude of that coach, whoever they put back there is going to do well. Look at Cleveland a couple of weeks ago when Chubb was out and Kareem Hunt was out. This Dearness Johnson, man, he came in and took advantage of the situation, had a great game, and this guy will do just as well back there as anybody. That's what's going to happen at Tennessee. This, I think it's McMurtry, McNichols. He's going to be the most sought after guy in fantasy football this week. You just watch. In any event, hope your fantasy team did well. I hope your team did well. And, hey guys, wear your masks, get your shots. Take care.
Alrighty, OJ, thanks for that. And with that said, my qualifiers, I just want to take a quick second. Let's close this show out. It seems like, this is probably the longest, unqualified news regular, episode out there. First episode recording from downtown LA in my apartment. You guys are going to hear everything I mentioned. I know I heard some helicopters. I definitely heard some police, and, my neighbors won't shut the fuck up. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it. I had a great time, and love you guys, and peace.